fans, welcome to the Giant Insider podcast. My name is Jerry Foley. I'm the senior editor of the Giant Insider newspaper. And with me, as always, is the beat writer in the heart of Giants Nation. Nobody beats the biz, Chris Bisignano. And in this episode, folks, we're going to talk about Hard Knocks episode 3. I mean, my God, episode alone, we probably could have a 3-hour podcast on this one. We'll talk about the next 10 Giants that were revealed in the 100 countdown list. And we're going to welcome a longtime listener for the last segment, if everything goes well and she can log in. Someone who's been with us really since the start of the podcast and been a subscriber to the newspaper for a long time, Lisa from Brooklyn. So she'll be joining us for the last segment. But Chris, before we start, I got a funny story for you. I want to drop this one on you. It's one of those, like, you know, when you run into someone kind of thing. I was in Wildwood Crest over the weekend, and a very close friend of mine at Crest Tavern, who was our sponsor for the season last year, texted me and said that someone came in and said, "How the hell does the Giant Insider advertise all the way down here?" And the person texted me. And so I was like, "Oh my God, are they still there?" So I went in, met the guy. Name's Ryan French. He's a longtime listener of ours. And it was funny because when I got there, his food just arrived. He had 3 little kids, his wife. And I didn't want to take too much of his time because the food just came. But he was like, "Hey, what's up?" And he wanted to thank us for kind of getting him through a lot of bad Mondays over the last few years, him and his father. And I thought it was awesome. It's great to always like run into people like that. And, right. You know, like I joke, like, you know, I told the owner of Crest Tavern, like, you've gotten return on your investment now, right? Like, you know, there've been at least 4 people or 5 people that have said, "Hey, the Giant Insider sent me." Right. So, yeah, you know what I mean? But, yeah, so it was nice guy, Ryan French, good dude, beautiful Ryan family. French? Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Not on X. He's not on X.
Not on X. Okay. I was going to say, yeah. I don't recognize that Twitter account at all. Okay, he's not our next.
That's yeah, but beautiful family, young kids, and it's funny, dude, but as soon as I showed up, the food came, so I just kind of looked around. I'm like, I don't want to take up too much of his time. These kids are probably starving, so yeah, nice. Again, always good to run into people like that. Man, it was awesome, so.
Yeah. I'll probably run into a lot of them next week, starting next
yes.
week.
Yeah, right.
The train camp, you know, kick it off Wednesday, you know, so.
Yeah.
But anyway. Jerry, I tell you, man, he's, as we get into it, the Hard Knocks, you know, episode 3, I tell you, man, this is like the best Hard Knocks. I mean, this is like the best Hard Knocks ever.
I mean, we're biased because Giant fans, but it's so much more interesting than the training camp, Chris.
It's so much more interesting. And I credit Joe Shane and, you know, and the Giants, you know what, you know, obviously they looked over before, you know, it came out, you know, they're going to edit anything they wanted to edit. They were going to edit. And they allowed so much, man.
Yeah.
And for the, you know, what you're seeing with Joe Shane at the free agency period is what the other 31 GMs are doing. Scrambling.
Yeah.
Scrambling on the phone, calling agents.
Yep.
All that stuff. It's a crazy time.
Yep.
You know? And I tell you, man, it's like, I think it's unbelievable. You're really getting an inside look. What the hell happened? Now, you obviously got an inside look what happened with Saquon Barkley. And
so glad that's over soon.
And all that stuff.
Yeah.
But you're getting everything. The Brian Burns trade, yeah. You know, talking yeah. over with Bowen. Dable coming in. You know, what do you think about this? You know, offensive line was a priority and all that stuff.
It was the priority, right?
Right. You know, and you talk about we're going to add a weapon for Daniel if we don't get a quarterback and all that stuff. It's just, I think it's been unbelievable what the Giants have given everybody, the access they've given everybody.
Yeah.
I did not expect this, Jerry. You know?
No.
And I, you know, in the offseason, I report a lot about, hey, I'm hearing this. But to actually see it now, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the whole offseason, I was like, the Giants are not going $12 million, Jerry. They're not going out with Saquon. It's not happening. And you're seeing it now. Now you actually see Shane, well, we're out. You know, when you last night, you know?
Yeah.
You know, and then he calls, you know, just, I guess we get into the Barkley thing a little bit. It's amazing. I just, this will wrap up now with Sickles. Next week's going to be the draft and everything like, you know. But, you know, him calling his agent, Ed Berry, and his agent saying, you know, well, this will get it done. 3 years, 12 and a half, and 25, right? And Joe goes, all right, I'll get back to you. You know, obviously somebody's over my head. I got it. Obviously, he was referring to John Mara. Yeah. But Joe's full of crap. Joe was just being nice.
This might be above my head. Yeah.
Well, right. The words he's saying, I ain't going there. But hold on. Well, let me go. It's above my head. They won't pay Saquon that money, okay? Yeah. And then, you know, and he's at, will that get it done? Yeah. basically, yes. And then the Eagles come in, and you hear Joe talking about, oh, they're a little north. What was the north? It was really just one more year guaranteed, one more million guaranteed.
Yeah, that's it.
Joe was like, we're out. You know, so listen, but that's the way.
The interesting part of that conversation was when he said to John Mara that he went back to Barry, the Barclays agent, and then Barry said something to the effect of, well, we still have a lot of work to do. But the conversation that Shane had, I'm sure he had more than those conversations. But from what I saw in that episode, the conversation that he had with Barry was, okay, yeah, let us know. Sounds good. Great. Bye. And I'm like, when did Barry say to him, oh, I don't know, we got a lot of work to do. My point is, they were just moving on from Saquon Barkley, and I'm fine with it. But it seemed like when he had all those pre-agents on the board, it's like, how are you signing Barkley with all these guys? I mean, what was it gonna happen?
You know, they were hoping that there was no market for running backs.
Right.
And they were hoping it would go down to $8 million like that. And
right.
And then, you know, like what happened a couple of years ago. And then that would have been a different ball game.
Yeah.
You know, but they just weren't going to go because, I mean, Joe's made it known on Hard Knocks numerous times that, you know, we have to get the offensive line done. We have to get money here, you know, and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So, and I thought, now, this is something I did not know. And I learned last night, you know, that they really targeted John Runyon Jr.,
yep,
Jermaine Illuminor, and obviously Robert Hunt was the other one. But Robert Hunt just too expensive, you know.
And I'm glad you said that because this is such a good question from Rich Savner. If they had signed all three targeted offensive linemen, would Neil have been second string? That is such a good question, man.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if they were going to go for all three. I just think they had three targeted.
Okay.
I don't think they were going to sign all three. You know, there was three guys. And then Robert Hunt's market was at, I don't know where the hell they.
Yeah, I think they said that he was 11 to 13 or something. Or 13
yeah, and
to 15.
It came out, he got like 20.
Yeah,
like crazy number. I think Carolina gave it to him, whatever the hell gave it to him. I forget now. And obviously, Illuminor and Runyon. But I, you know, something I did not hear back in the offseason that, you know, we learned last night, the Jets were in on Runyon big time.
Both guys, yep.
And the Giants jumped him. They said, add another, you know, give him the $10 million.
Yeah, yep.
Because they wanted him. So I thought that was great that they beat the Jets to the punch, you know.
Yeah, and with Runyon having that Hackett and Rodgers connection too, you know.
Yeah, which goes to show you what, Jerry.
Money talks and bullshit takes the subway, baby.
It all comes down to money,
that's
right?
That's it.
Yeah, okay, Hackett, Rodgers, yeah, my boys. Wait a minute. I get another million.
One more year? I'm in. Let's go.
So, I mean, like it always does. It comes down to money. But you're not going to see many Jalen Brunsons like we just saw with the Knicks.
Right.
You know, leave money out there because he wants to be on the Knicks. You know, and don't forget, he's getting paid Tyrod Taylor, the Jets went in and he wanted that back up and they spent a lot of money,
which you said they wanted the Giants wanted him back, to your credit.
Back in February, I guess it was, when I said the Giants want Tyrod back bad,
and then several Twitter followers or people said no you're wrong, Chris, you're smoking crack, and
what are you gonna do? You know, I understand people
around the building. Nice job, buddy.
People around the building more than me, I get it. Thanks. You know, I was like, but they weren't going to go that number either, you know, so they pivoted to Drew Locke, you know, so, and you saw that worked out, right? Hey, listen, you're going to be here. You're going to be our number one guy this spring. I mean, they didn't expect Daniel to come back this quick either. You know, Daniel's in OTAs, he's in mini camp, and, you know, he's not doing the team drills, and it looks like he's going to be ready to go for training camp, like he said, and then he basically was confirmed the other day, but the access the Giants are given, I mean, it's nothing wrong with what the Giants are doing. You know, so many organizations, they feel like it's like the CIA. Don't say anything. But what's wrong with the Giants are out there saying, okay, we tried to get this guy. We signed this guy. We're on the agent with it. This is what teams do that time of year.
Right.
And for the Giants to say, you know, to actually bring in their fans and the whole nation into their Joe Shane's office.
Right.
Woof, you know?
Yeah.
You know?
And Mara putting himself out there too, knowing that the cameras are on him. Like, and again, I have, Chris, guys, I am trying not to be a homer through all this, but you all know what I feel about the Mara family. But I don't think Mara's doing anything that any owner shouldn't do. He's just questioning things. And he's saying, you know, the comment last night was, you know, Barkley by far is our most popular player. Like, yeah, find the lie. He is. He's the most popular player on the team. And it's jersey sales, too. It's a reality, right? And then the one comment, it was funny, when he came in the room and they kind of signed, they were signing everybody already. Oh, we got a motor. Oh, what's his name? Motorin. We got Motorin. We got this lineman, that lineman. Mariners, how's it going with Saquon?
I'm thinking, that's all John wanted to know about.
It's what about so Saquon? Gone already. Like, oh my God, John. Joe looked like you kind of laughed at him. Like, yeah, it's probably not going to happen.
Of course, you know, Jerry, because, you know, everybody loves Saquon. John didn't want to lose him.
Right. This is
everybody knows that. John did.
Right.
But folks, you know, John didn't go in the office and say, Joe, I'm the owner.
Yeah.
We're keeping Saquon. You get what I'm saying? Yeah. He didn't do that.
Right.
You know, he didn't do that.
And there are owners that would. There's owners that would do that, Chris.
Yeah. You know, and look, was he upset? He lost the most popular. And Saquon's the most popular player on the Giants. He was before. He was the most popular player on the Giants. No question about it, by far. You know.
Great question by Bradley. If Barkley signed with the Bears, would there be this much hubbub about his departure?
Probably not, Bradley. Nope. Bradley, probably not, bro. Nope. Obviously, look, you heard Shane on the phone, right? Asking Ed Berry, Saquon's agent, hey, listen, could you just prepare me if it's somebody in our division I can get mentally prepared for this?
Right.
And John Mara, you heard him, right? Man, I hope it's not the Eagles. I'm going to lose sleep if it's the Eagles. Well,
we did so.
I like the way Joe said, you know, you saw that last episode. Basically, Joe was preparing John, like, we're losing him. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then Joe saying last night, we'll be all right.
Yeah,
we'll be all right. You know, Jerry, I put something on Twitter before.
And did Mara say, I think so too? I thought he said, I think
I'm
so
sure.
too. I
couldn't make it out. At it again.
I rewound it a million times.
And Jerry, I put something on Twitter a little while ago. You tell me if you agree with it.
Yeah.
You know, I said, look, if the Giants go 6-11 again next year, Devin Singletary is a good running back. It's not going to be because they signed Singletary and lost Saquon. It's going to be because, once again,
right tackle,
the offensive line did not play well.
Right tackle, cornerback. Yeah.
And Daniel didn't play well, or both, right, or one or the other, you know, whatever the hell. Like, Daniel plays pretty well, but he has no chance because of the line. Right. Or the offensive line is pretty decent, but Daniel's horrible.
Yep.
One or the other, or both, right?
Yeah, I was going to name the laundry list of issues we've been talking about over the last few months. You know, Jones question, the question mark around Jones, right tackle, cornerback. There's some offensive line as a whole. Like, it's not going to be because of Saquon Barkley. It's going to be because of the laundry list of holes and issues that we feared that we may have on this team. So absolutely, dude. And look, made the playoffs 1 year with Barkley, right? One. So I'm not saying it's his fault we didn't make the playoffs, but, you know, I'd rather improve the rest of the team. So to, who was it? Bradley's point before, and then Adriana chimed in, not a chance. Like, if he goes to the Bears, it's not as much of a big deal as it is going to the Eagles. But we all know he's going to get 2,000 total yards with the Eagles behind that offensive line. So just get ready for it, Giant fans. That's all. So.
Yeah, you know, and you see Ed Berry's telling Shane, like, oh, well, we got an offer, it's a little bit north, what I said before.
Yeah.
Right?
$1 million.
It was $1 million more guaranteed. Come on. You know, and look, if you really wanted to get things done, he could have said, listen, forget about that. Hit the original, what I told you this afternoon, Joe. Can you match it?
Yeah.
You know, they basically didn't do that. They were just like, well, we just got an offer a little north, right?
Yeah.
Of what we talked about.
Yeah.
You know, and Joe was like,
okay,
we're out.
Okay, bye.
So like, it wasn't like, you know, you didn't hear Joe on the phone saying,
yeah,
what, you're going to come down? He'll come down. He'll meet us a little bit to be, you know, he wants to retire here 2 years. Ring of no, he didn't say it. It was like, boom, we're gone. Yeah, no, we got to order. We're going to go with that offer if you don't want to match it. Boom. And Joe was like, Joe didn't even have a chance. He was just like, no, we're out.
There was also a funny exchange between Shane and Mara, and it was I'm watching these episodes so much, I'm not trying to psychoanalyze everything, but when Mara walks in and Shane starts laughing, and Mara goes, "I'm glad you're laughing," like they were both laughing with each other, almost like it's inevitable that we're losing Barkley, John. Like it's going to happen. Yeah, well, like,
listen, I think that's some of the conversations they had away from the cameras.
Yeah, right.
Where Joe told John,
sure.
You know, they talked about it, like Joe.
Yeah.
You know, like back in the beginning.
Yep.
Are we losing him? And Joe's probably, John will probably lose him.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
We'll see how the market plays out. But John, we'll probably, look, we ain't paying this freaking guy. We offered him that effing money 2 years ago. He didn't take it.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That was probably the conversation with John. Now, I'm not reporting
that. Right, right.
But I'm pretty sure that was probably the conversation.
Yeah.
And all that. So, yeah, look, I see somebody, you know, Barkley's a trader. And look, the guy took the most money.
Yeah, it is what it is.
I'm not going to say he's a trader.
Trader. You know, first, he's a trader, like he's trading stocks, and then he corrected the trader.
Austin realized it.
Nice, Austin.
Yeah. I'm not going to say it. Look, I got to be honest with you, and that's a good question by Austin. I don't think we know this guy.
No.
This guy's new.
Might be.
This guy, Austin. And that's a good question, because I'll tell you why, Jerry. If Joe turned around and said, hey, we'll give him 12 and a half and 20. Four guaranteed.
Three.
And they turn around and said, nope, you got to match with the Eagles just off it. Then I'll be like, you know what? F him. He's going to let a million. You know what I mean?
Right.
F that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's not what happened. The Giants won't pay that. So, you know what? Saquon took the money and God bless him, bro. This is a business, which he found out last year.
Yeah. Can we go to the Burns trade a little bit?
Whatever you want, bro. Whatever you want.
Yeah, the Brian Burns one was interesting, and that was in the works for a long time, right? Those conversations took place for a while. What I loved about it was it reminded me a little bit of Wolf of Wall Street when they say he who talks next loses. You know, Shane makes the proposal and then waits 6 hours for, you know, an answer. Like, it's almost like you don't want to call and seem too eager. Like, you really have to have patience in that role, right?
Yes.
And when they the thing that kind of surprised me was when they asked for a seventh, Shane was like, Dan, come on. We all need players here. Like, you're really going to ask for a seventh here? Mm-hmm. And I would have just been like, a seventh? Then take it. Like, oh, my God. I can't. No. Ahmad, when was the last good seventh we had? Ahmad Bradshaw? Like, yeah, take it. I don't care, dude. So, yeah, it's just that whole exchange was interesting. And
And the best part about that, Jerry, is that, look, you talk about friends in the business. And, hey, he's my buddy. Dan Morgan is Joe Shane's boy.
Yeah.
Loves them. They're friends. Their family's a friend. But what did Dan try to do? He still tried to get an extra draft pick out of his friend.
Try to squeeze
him. Now, he did fold on that. Like, he did. They swapped, you know, the whole thing. And it was a 2 and a 5. And he didn't get the set. Right? It was a 2 and a 5. Right, Jerry? And then
2 and a 5. And then a 5 this year.
And then a 5.
Up.
Right?
And then the Giants got back Burns and another pick. I think a 4
right,
or 5th, whatever.
Yeah, right.
Fifth.
I'm sorry. I don't have the trade in front
of
me.
Yeah, no, it's fine.
It was months ago. I don't remember exactly.
No, I was trying to remember it from the show.
Yeah. So, it's a business, right?
Yeah.
We're good friends. Our families hang out, but I still want that 7.
Right.
You know what I mean? Just to see if Joe will go. Like you said, Jerry, how many GMs would out there would probably go like this? Okay, you want a 7? You got it.
Yeah,
like,
take the 7.
Like,
take
if Jerry Foley was a GM, you'd be like, okay, you got it. And I'm not saying that's wrong, Jerry. I'm just saying a lot of GMs would be like, well, what the hell's a 7? Okay. You got it, right?
Right.
But Joe was like, come on, man, any plays, you know what I mean? And this and that. Now you want a 7, you know, and he wound up not, you know, working it out. So, yeah, it's interesting. And then you see the way they were going about, well, we're going to be paying Brian this money, you know what I mean? So we only have him for this, and this. And I just think it's crazy how much access you are watching. You're allowed to, you know what I mean? That they're allowing, you know?
Yeah.
Which makes it, I got to be honest with you, Jerry, even if it was another team, obviously we like it the best because it's the Giants.
But I would watch this for anybody.
But Jerry, if this was the Arizona Cardinals, I would still be like, whoa, this is interesting stuff. You know what I mean? We've never seen this access before.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
All you do is you hear things. Hey, Chris, this is what I'm hearing. Blah, blah, blah. And I might say something, but we're not in the room. I'm not reporting, well, Joe said this to Mara today. No, I'm not saying that. You know what I mean? And all the NFL insiders, you know, the Rappaport's, Gaff, they're very good with the agents. Tell them the agents tell them everything. That's why they report everything, because the agents are telling them everything.
Right.
But that guys like Joe Shane, Brian, they're not telling these guys what's going on now. They're not telling them shit.
Right.
You know.
Right.
You know. So all that stuff. So it was a good thing too, Jed, because if you remember this in free agency, we lost Saquon to the Eagles, and Giant Nation fan base was like, oh. And then he landed Burns a little while later. Remember,
but it was,
Jeremy,
but it was later in the day, though.
It was later in the day, but still, it went from
that day, punch. Right?
Remember Saquon put on X? He put those Eagles. Remember?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it came down, and everybody was like, "Oh my God! Okay, we lost Saquon, but now we lost him to the Eagles." Oh, and then later on in the day, boom, you land the Brian Burns, and the Giants fans were like, "All right, you know what I mean?" And
it felt a lot better.
Kind of got the wind back in the sails, so to say.
Yeah, because no, with all due respect to Runyon and Illuminor and Singletary, it was just like,
Yeah.
Oh, great. But we lost Barkley and Xavier McKinney.
Right.
I mean, are we better? And then we get Burns. Like, oh, okay. I see what we're doing here.
Right.
All right, guys. Right. Guys, we're going to take a break and be right back. It's already been 20 minutes. You're listening to the Giant Insider Podcast. Hang on 1 second. And we're back. Folks, listen to the Giant Insider Podcast with Jerry Foley and Chris. Nobody Beats the Biz, Biz Ignana. We are recapping episode 3, which I think it's going to be this way all along, but it's been the best one yet, right? As good as 1 and 2 were, 3 is better. I suspect 4 will be better and 5 will be the best one. But it's great seeing the inside look here. And one thing Shane said that has to be so frustrating as a GM, a scout, all these guys in the building, when you say, look, we do all this film work, we lay out all these scenarios, and we have zero control over any of it. And that's tough, man. I mean, I know it's tough. You know, a little obvious, but it's like, that's true. You put hours upon hours upon hours of film work. And then even before, it was like, well, we should be able to get Illuminor for 3 to 5. And then Dable asked him, 3 to 5? Well, 5 to 6. And then I think it ended up being 7 or whatever it was. Right?
Yeah.
So even when you're laying it out there, you've laid it out all along, and it's always going to be more. You're not going to get everyone you want. And, you know, you put all this work in, but it's really completely out of your hands. It was interesting to see how they just kind of admitted that, like, guys, we'll put in the work, but this is totally, you know, not in our control.
Yeah. And you could also say, how about when Drew Locke was signed and somebody says, hey, put F the Eagles on the phone.
Yeah. Remember? Yeah. Someone said that. Yeah. Rich said that. Yeah.
Right.
Say F Philly to get into Giant fans' good graces.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, somebody from the Giants told him to say that, right? He's like, joking around, like, you know what I mean? Like, go say F Philly.
Yeah, because he's like, what do we say here? He's like, go Big Blue, and then someone said, yeah, if you want to really say F Philly. He goes, oh, okay, yeah.
Well, I'm going to tell you a quick story, because the Giants can't stand the Eagles, okay?
Awesome. Love
they
to hear it.
They can't stand the Eagles. Okay, I'm going to tell you a quick story, and Jerry, you notice, I didn't say it, but I'm going to say it now.
Yeah, sure.
Okay?
Go ahead.
So last year, Jerry, you notice, I text you the story, but obviously nobody else does. So last year, when the Giants beat the Eagles, 27-10, right?
Oh, yeah.
Jalen Hurts goes.
Real quick, guys. When Chris tells me these things, I have to be a steel trap. So go ahead, Chris.
You're right. I just didn't want to.
Yeah. No, I get it. At
the time. So they beat in the first. They beat. Remember that they played the starters. They know they won't go to Bubba Bowl, and they took the Giants were kicking the crap out of him anyway. Jalen and the whole.
It was 27-0. It should have been 34-9.
They took the starters out. Bubba Bowl.
Yeah.
Game was over. The Giants kicked the shit out. Right.
Yep.
And then the Eagles realized they weren't going to make the position, division. Bubba Bowl.
Yeah.
So. Well, I'm walking out towards the elevators, okay? Mm-hmm. And right next to me is Howie Roseman, the GM of the Philadelphia Eagles. Little guy from Brooklyn. He's not my part of Brooklyn. I don't even consider him Brooklyn. I don't know where the hell he's from. But anyway, okay? And he goes like this. Oh, boy, 6-11 team, really excited. Like, real arrogant. I told you this, right, Jerry?
Yes, you did. Yes, you did.
Guess who's standing right next to me? Comes walking up right behind me. We're waiting for the elevators. John Mara. I'm with John Mara right next to me. And there's Howie with his Philly cronies waiting for the elevator. Look like they just lost their best friend. Because A, they lost the division. B, the Giants just kicked the shit out of them. C, they knew they were done probably the following week in Tampa. Yeah. Which they were. Right?
Right.
They got smoked the following week.
Yes.
They knew their season was going down like the Titanic. All right?
Right.
And here's Howie with his little comment of, oh, the 6-11 team really excited, right? I looked at John Mara this. I said, hey, John, I guess when your season's going down a shitball, you make comments like that. Really, Jerry? And Jerry, you know this because I told you, Jerry, yes, this. You remember?
You did.
That January night, I said, Jerry, you're not going to believe this. Boy, I was walking up.
Yeah.
And John Mara just looked at me. He laughed. He smiled and looked over at Howie. And we just stood there. It was like an awkward moment. Howie didn't say a word. Yeah. I said it so freaking loud that freaking Dable probably heard me in the locker room. Okay? Okay? The elevator came down. The coaches had the one elevator. John, you know, they have their own elevator. And boom, boom, boom. And that was the end of that. But I'm saying to myself, and it wasn't like, you know, you could just see in John Mara's eyes, like, yeah, we just kicked the shit out of you, Howie. Shut up. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, there's no need for comments like that. You got 1 week. That's what I said, too. I was like, you got 1 week left. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You'll be on the same tee times as us in a week. Okay?
That's awesome.
And folks, this is a true story.
Roseman must be like, man, the beat here is tough.
Roseman looked at me like, oh, this freaking guy's nuts. I can just tell the way how he looked at me like,
yeah.
You know, and folks, I know you don't know me, but believe me, I'm not from the media world. I've only been doing this 8 years. This is my 8th year, whatever. I'm not from the media, you know. I had a college, some journalist major. And all. No, right. This is not me. And Jerry, and folks, that's a true story. I show a lot of people, Jerry, they're going to laugh at that. Jerry knows it because I told him back last January. Yep. I'm not making anything up.
Yep.
I thought it was funny, but just the point of the story is that.
Chris, you're getting a lot of love, Chris, from a lot of people.
Am I getting a lot of love?
I'll sleep well tonight after that story. That's amazing.
Yeah. And I just loved it that Howie looked at me like, oh, maybe I should shut up because I was going to unload on him in 2 seconds.
What is he, like 5'7", 5'6"? Yeah. He's a little
guy,
right?
At best. Yeah. So, yeah. Jerry, the point of the story is that there's no love lost between the Eagles and the Giants.
Sure, right.
I could tell you, like, there's a lot of, you know, there's a Giants cowboy animosity a little bit, but John Mara likes Jerry Jones. He doesn't just, but I could tell you, like, the Eagles and Giants, bro, there's no love lost there between everything that goes on. You know what I mean?
Daryl LeGrand says you let them clowns know what's up, Chris.
Yeah. Folks, I should have told this story. I told Jerry that night or the next day, whatever the hell it was. And I should have told it, but I just said, yeah, you know what? I don't want it to get out. It's between us. But then you see the, you know, all this stuff, you know, the clown stuff with the Eagle and all that stuff. I said, ah, you know what? Let me tell it tonight because, you know, what made me think of it, Jerry, is when they told Drew Locke, hey, just say F the Eagles. As a joke. Of course, he wasn't going to do that, you know, as a joke. But I think John really enjoyed it when I said that, you know. Yeah. And when I said to John, I said, you know, when I said to John, I said, well, 1 week left in that season, whatever the hell, words, I don't know. I said, talk a lot of crap for guys with 1 week left in, something like that, I said. And John, and John just looked at me with a half a smirk, like, yeah, you're freaking right. You know what I mean? But obviously, you know, the Giants season was over, 6-11, the whole deal. Lost there, bro, between
that's good
the
stuff,
Eagles
dude.
And the Giants organization. You know
that's
what I mean?
Awesome. Here we go. John is probably too classy, which makes Chris saying it perfect. John had to laugh.
Let's put it this way, folks. John Mara is way more classy than me because I'm a hot-headed Italian at times. Mm-hmm. I admit it. Not, you know, I'm 57, not really anymore, but one time I was, and there's certain times. But if I was the owner of the New York Giants and I was walking the elevator – and I heard Howie Roseman say that. I'd probably be like, yo, Howie, shut up if I smack it right in the mouth.
Yeah, right.
You know, but that's just me. I mean, sometimes I get a little freaking out of my mind.
Well, it's also personal when it's your team. Like, if you're the owner, it's your team, and he's talking smack like that. I get it, dude. Absolutely. That's why, like, you know, this is personal from Aaron, man. So he probably appreciated you saying that.
I don't know. But I just thought. John, I think John loved it. Yeah. I didn't ask him about it later on or any else, but he went to a separate elevator. I didn't ask him, but I'm pretty sure.
Well, next time you see him at the urinal, you can ask him. You run into him at the urinal in the elevator. So
me and John are tight after games. He's smiling, having a good time, or he's freaking got the look like he wants to murder somebody, you know? So that's why I stay away from
him. I said that, dude. There was a press box in 2013, Giants lost to Nick Foles. It was a Nick Foles led Eagle team.
Yeah.
I think it was 20 when Chip Kelly was there. And the Giants almost came back and beat them. I think it was the first go around. I think it was 13.
2013. Oh, okay. Yeah. 13. Wow, that's how long ago. Wow.
And Mara walked past me after the game. And he's not a big guy. Like, big. And I backed away like, man, this dude looks like he's going to freaking kill somebody, man. He looked pissed, dude. So, yeah.
But Jerry, like I said, man, just amazing stuff from Hard Knocks.
Yeah.
Just amazing stuff. I think people are absolutely loving it.
Yeah.
And I have to admit, great move by the NFL again, right? This is the first time they're offseason. I'm sure they're going to do it next year with another team. They'd be crazy not to, you know? I'm glad the Giants were actually first in this, Jerry, in this offseason access. You know, I think it's been great, you know? I tell you, it's way more than I expected. Nothing wrong. I see some comments about, oh, the Giants should be revealing this much. Why? Well, why not? You know, right, Jerry? Why not?
Right.
It's what every team's doing that time of year. They're sitting there, go, we want this guy. We want this guy. You know, but we're going to give this guy money. Here, we give him another year. Joe's like, right, going back and forth with Dable. Hey, you want this guy? You want this? We need. Dable's like, yeah, and all that stuff. So I just think it's been great. Jerry, who's in training? Oh, the Bears got the training camp this year. Be interesting, I guess. But, you know, every year now, it's kind of getting a little, you know, the training camp. But this was something new. With the Giants and all that stuff, and I think it's been great, bro. I think you're with me on that.
Oh, my God. Love it. Stuff. Can't wait for Tuesday nights, dude, at 9 o'clock. Are you kidding me?
What is it, two more left, Jerry? Two more?
Yeah, there's only two more, man. I wish they had, more. It's only two more weeks. But Interesting to see the dynamic too. Like Brandon Brown, man, he's a cool customer. He don't react to anything. Like he just, you know, here's news. Okay, thanks. I'll adjust. Like I said, he's going to be a GM one day. But it was cool to see like the reaction to them getting Burns. Like they were clearly happy with that one. Like they're like kind of high fiving when that happens. So, but I don't think they're showing anything that we kind of didn't know how they look at things. You know what I mean? Like it's not like there's like they're showing like a secret recipe or anything.
Right,
so
right,
I kind of like it.
Right, exactly, Jerry. You know, there's nothing, you know, this is football, Jerry. This right. isn't, you know, this isn't the Pentagon. You know, this isn't,
yeah, right,
you know,
right,
this
right.
isn't some strike on a Middle East country. Nobody knows. This is football. That's it.
Yeah.
You know, it's football. Have fun with it. Obviously, you don't want to give away secrets. Anymore. They're not. They're just, you just seen.
Bob Papa chimes in. We're Sperling.
Hey, Pop, I know you appreciate that. I think I might have told you that John Mara story with Howie Roseman. After last year's game, I'm not sure if I told you, Pop, but I hope you just heard it. Hope you just didn't sign on. But Sperling is in a Montauk, right? I think he's fishing.
That's right,
right.
Yes, out east, as they say.
Yeah. So, Jerry, like I said, the access has been great. If you're a football fan, man, everybody's football. You gotta love it, man. You know, it's been unbelievable, and you really seen what Joe Shane. You know, and I love it too that. You've seen Joe Shane make the decisions. John Mara coming in, leaving with his head down. You know, but John runs the football operations, right?
Yes.
He's there all the time. Thank you, Pop. Thank you. I appreciate it, my man.
Just signed on. Great show. Thank you, Pop.
Pop, I just told the Howie Roseman story when he made a comment after the Giants kicked the crap out of him last year. And me and Mara were there when I said really loud. I said, when he made a comment about, the 6-11 team is really excited about this win. And when I made a comment, I said, you got 1 week left in the season. I said to Mara was right next to me, Pop. And I said, John, I said a team with 1 week left in the season is talking crap. Really loud. I mean, really loud. And Howie just looked at me like, yeah, Howie, one Brooklyn guy to another, except I'm really part of Brooklyn, Howie. Yeah, right. I don't know where the hell you're from. So anyway,
right,
dude, great stuff. Joe Shane, Barkley, we all know. Any else, Jerry, I could think of. Offensive line, the targets, they got their guys. Right, yeah. Robert Hunt. Jerry, I got to be honest with you, dude. Just quickly, Jerry, I'll let you jump in. When Robert Hunt signed for that money, I was like, oh, guys, nice guard. I saw him since day one. He's a nice guard, Jerry, but the money they gave him, I was like, whoa, what is this? What is this, Quentin Nelson all of a sudden? Like, what are we looking at here?
Yeah, you know?
Like,
I know.
Like everybody calm down. The Giants were like, no way we're giving Robin Hunt that ridiculous money.
Right. You know, No, I thought the same thing. I mean, that was an insane amount of money, especially where they had him. They had him like 13 to 15 in that range. And to jump out and get 20, I mean, my God, do you even want to pay a guard that much money in free agency? So, Bradley asked, what did you think of the poker table using Giants player cards described signing at least? I thought it was kind of cool.
That was kind of cool. Just
I thought it was cool, but I'll be honest with you. The one thing that annoyed me was that music playing in the background. I wanted to hear what Dable and Shane were saying. I had to keep rewinding it and playing it. I don't know if it's because I'm 49 and my ears, my hearing's going, but I was annoyed by the music. I sound like my father when I say things like that.
Well, he did it on purpose, Dable. He put it loud on purpose.
Yeah, right. And I was just like, oh my God, really?
So,
anyway.
Yeah, look, Dable, I could say this, knowing Dave's, Jerry, like I know him, he's not crazy about this whole deal. And I think he even admitted it. Dable's not a camera on me type of guy, you know?
Yeah.
You know, you don't see him much in these Hard Knocks. You notice it's mostly Joe, you know? And even Dable, you can see he's like, he's sitting there, he makes some comment, he's pretty quiet, he's calm. Dave's not a big, you know, let's focus on me, cameras, I like the interviews, I want to talk. He's not like that, Jerry. He's just not. You see him at his presses, he doesn't like to talk much. He could be on with Papa and Papa would tell you, he'll be on with Papa and Bang. And he's pretty reserved. He's good. He's great with them, but he's just a reserved type of guy. As far as when he's in that spotlight, I don't think Dave really likes the spotlight, the cameras on him.
Yeah,
I'm sure when we talk to Dave, or if I happen to talk to him on the side after all this at training camp next week or in 2 weeks, whatever it might be, Dave's probably whatever. He's not big.
Yeah, there were a couple times when he walked out where he just looked like he was kind of not annoyed, but just he clearly didn't want to be on camera, just kind of walking out like, okay, thanks, thank you.
He wants to coach football. He wants to smoke his cigars.
Yeah.
He's not big into the camera stuff, bro. He's just not. You know,
Richie says Dave's too busy running 740s.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome. Nice. Yeah. No, nothing else, dude. Nothing else. We can talk about the next 10 real quick before we invite our very special guest.
And in fact,
here we go. Papa chimes in.
Papa's basically confirming what I just said. He's great off camera, which he is. I've spoken to Dable on the side. The dude is a funny, freaking great guy. He's just not big on presses, and he's not big on camera. And if you don't believe me, there you go. The voice of the Giants just confirmed it.
Yep.
Right there, you know. So, but I've had some laughs with Dable on things on the side. He's a great freaking guy. He's funny. He's a funny dude, man. He's just not big on that. And you could just see he's a little uneasy with the Hard Knocks. But Joe was really adapted well, right? Joe's funny. You see his family.
And great news here. It says it looks like he's really enjoying it. The peanut butter and jelly sandwiches with his family and everything.
Yeah,
he looks like he's having a good time.
I think he embraced it, Jerry. You know, I think he's really embraced his Hard Knocks, and he's doing a good job showing his personality and all that. So where Dable's kind of like, you know, he's not thrilled about the cameras all around and all that stuff, dude. So.
Yep. Imagine if they try to do this with George Young and Bill Parcells and back in the day. It would be a 3-second show. Like, yeah, we're not doing this, guys.
How about Belichick?
Oh, God. That's right. So he was the coordinator then. Like, wow, George Young, Bill Parcells, and Bill Belichick doing this? Yeah, it's never going to happen. Forget it.
So, Jerry, we also had the next top 10.
Yeah.
From 90 to 81 greatest.
No, 80 to 71.
Excuse me.
Ooh, yeah.
80 to 71.
Yep.
Greatest Giants.
So number 80, I'll read them all off, right?
Go ahead. Let's do one at a time. Yeah, right,
cool. 80, William Roberts.
Big dog William Roberts. Well deserved. Real good picking up the line, right?
Yep.
Came up with a dance doing the Super Bowl back in the day with Pepper.
First round draft pick, the second of the first round draft picks in 84, by the way.
Jerry, did you happen to see the podcast with Haas?
Yes, I watched them all. Yeah.
Well, the latest one, I don't know if you
saw it. Yeah, I've seen all the others.
With Popper and and Gary Myers and Haas. I thought it was, I tell you what, dude, and I never really thought of this.
Yep.
Until Jeff Haas mentioned, Bob Popper mentioned to Haas, he talked to Phil Simms.
I know this part, I know where you're going with this.
And when Simms told Bob Popper, hey, don't necessarily think we're going to win that Super Bowl with me.
Yep.
Because Jeff did so many things that were needed against those defenses.
Yep.
And he talked about his legs. And I'm thinking, right, Jerry? And I'm saying, man, not to say that they wouldn't have won it with Simms, you know, obviously with a healthy Simms. But how many big plays did Haas make with his legs in the playoffs, especially the 49er
game? Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
Right?
Yeah, totally.
We all know Simms was not good with his feet. He was not good in running. He's not, you know, he's not – where Haas – yeah, exactly. Given, Pop, talk.
Gary Myers giving.
Pop, if I'm wrong with Andy, you jump in here. He told Gary Myers. I'm sorry. My mistake. Yeah. Gary Myers. He told Gary Myers. And dude, you know, the big plays he made with his legs.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah. Yep.
They might have been sacks.
Yep. The Bear game too. I mean, it was and if you notice, like down the stretch that year, the Giants lost some steam. They lost 3 out of 4. So, you know, you don't know what would have happened. And I think that surprised Hostetler, because you know what the relationship was with Hostetler and Simms. Like, they never, you know.
They were not best friends.
No. Right, exactly. Right. No. So when he said that, he was almost probably taken aback by it. So good job.
And Haas was always a very humble guy. Papa just puts it on here, too. And you could see he was very humble to be on that show. Papa just said he was very, that's the way Jeff was, you know?
Yep.
A family guy, and he was frustrated not playing. He was thinking about packing it in and the whole deal. Got his chance, obviously, with Phil goes down, and the rest is history, man. But I was so happy for him, Jerry, because the guy could play.
Yeah, totally.
The guy could play. And in those days, you know, you didn't move on. You could have been a backup quarterback for years, right?
Yep.
The guy could play, man. And he showed he could play. He went on to the Raiders after that and all that, got some money and all that. But I was so happy. I thought that was a great podcast. You know, I loved it when Pepper Johnson, Jerry, was saying that, okay, Phil goes down. And Banksy told me this, Jerry, too. Carl Banks told me this once, too.
Yeah.
When Phil went down, we weren't in the locker room going, oh, the season's done. We're done.
Right,
we're finished.
Right.
It goes out and run. But they all had confidence.
Yep.
Practicing against Jeff.
Yep.
They all had confidence in him that he could take it where they wanted to go.
Yep.
And Parcells told the team that right out of the gate.
Yeah.
This is our guy now. This guy could get us where we want to go.
Yep.
I thought that was great stuff.
That was awesome. It was awesome.
They all loved us. They practiced against it, knew how difficult he could be. It was just great stuff, bro. I thought that was a great podcast. You know, the way that developed, you know, when Haas talking about it. Phil Simms making those comments about Jeff. I thought it was great stuff, bro.
All right, dude. Good stuff.
Yeah, next one up, Jerry.
No, we're 40 minutes in. We're going to invite our special guest now. She's been waiting patiently backstage. Okay. All right, guys. We're going to do it right after the break. You're listening to the John Insider Podcast. Hang on 1 second. And we're back. Folks, listen to the John Insider Podcast with Jerry Foley and Chris. Nobody beats the Biz Bisignano. Haas's backup was Matt Cavanaugh. For that season. All right. So we are going to welcome someone who's been listening to our podcast, and we can talk about the next players on the list with her, whatever else she wants to talk about. It's her show now.
We'll get into the rest of the list with Lisa. Yeah,
no doubt. Lisa from Brooklyn. What is up, Lisa?
Lisa, we finally meet. You got the value? You got Lisa, you on mute?
She's on mute, I think. Oh, Lisa's on mute, maybe. No,
Lisa, Lisa, unmute.
No, now she's muted.
Now you're muted.
Unmute now. Someone's laughing in the background.
Lisa, can you hear us?
She can hear us.
Can you hear us?
We can't
hear
her.
She can hear us?
Yeah, she can. She's kind of nodding. Damn it, Lisa. Sorry.
Lisa, you got to hit some mute thing there.
Volume, I don't know. Microphone volume on your computer.
Come on, Lisa, you're from Staten Island. Figure it out. Don't disappoint me.
Oh, man, this sucks. Sorry, Lisa. Lisa's got thrown her arms up.
See if she can figure it out. Could she figure it out, Jerry? Was it on her end?
It must be on her end, yeah. It must be the microphone on her computer. So, Lisa, you're going to be on screen for a while. Just figure it out and jump
Lisa,
in.
Lisa, try to figure it out. We're going to talk. You can hear us. Try to figure it out. This is Lisa So Good.
That's right.
An avid follower. Yeah. Fellow Brooklynite. We know some of the same people. Me and Lisa talked once. We were DMing each other. Oh, now we lost Lisa altogether.
Now we lost her face. All right.
Okay. We lost. All anyway, right.
78.
Staten Island girl. Go ahead, Jerry.
Sorry. Yeah, 78. Mark Haynes.
Well, Jerry, Mark Haynes was, I know he went to another team and all that.
Yeah.
But Mark Haynes was freaking good.
Hell of a corner. Yeah.
He was a hell of a physical corner too, bro. He'll hit you too, man.
Yep.
You know?
First round pick.
He was a hell of a corner. You know what? It was funny. I forgot all about him until he came on the list. I was like, oh, man, Mark Haynes.
Yep.
Yeah, damn good corner, you know?
Yeah.
Physical corner. So good pick there. Good job by the committee there with Mark Haynes.
Next up, one of your favorites. I know this for a fact. Number 77, John Mendenhall.
This is me and Pop. One of me and Papa's favorites. We talked about Mendenhall before. Jerry, I know just a bit before your time. I don't think you remember John, right, Jerry?
No, it was a little early. Yeah.
Right. Well, Jerry, he was one of the bright spots on Sunday afternoons.
Yeah.
While they were getting it, you know, basically losing those 17-3 games in the 70s, Jerry. Not because of the defense, because of the offense, and they sucked.
Yep.
You know, Mendenhall was a guy that stood out every week, Jerry. Loved him. Giant fans. I remember seeing Mendenhall jerseys and all later on. It was great thing. Just a very good player that played on garbage teams, Jerry, and never really got the recognition, you know. But he was a freaking good defensive lineman, man. I'm so glad he made it, bro.
I did have the pleasure of interviewing him for the Giant Insider.
That's right. I think you remember me saying that. Yeah.
He was such a nice guy. Very gracious, too. Very gracious. Lisa's sending a private chat. Trying to figure the mic out. All right, Lisa, hang in there. He was such a nice guy. And he talked about the fact that he wishes – he could have been there when LT came. He left like in 1980, I think. So, he talked about like George Martin and Carson and Troy Archer, the late Troy Archer too. He talked about that they were starting to build something there. All right, dude, number 76.
And Jack Gregory too.
Jack Gregory.
Yeah. I think he might be in his top 10, right?
He is. Yep.
Yeah, another guy, Jerry. You know, so yeah.
Number 76, one of my favorites, Gary Reasons.
Oh, I mean, you know.
So real quick, Papa says. Yes. Jerry, he did Dexter Lawrence type things. Good stuff.
Absolutely. Papa's 100%. I mean, he used to push the pocket, Jerry. Yeah. You know, he used to push, get in that pocket. He was just a freaking phenomenal player, dude. Mendenhall was phenomenal, man.
Yep.
Jerry, next one up, Gary Reasons. We all know Gary, right? I mean, just a great linebacker, man.
Yep.
Famous player, of course, when at the goal line in Denver, the hit. Yeah. Right?
Yep.
Just a smart player. And, Jerry, we had Gary on, right, at the podcast, you remember?
Yep.
And he talked about that fake punt.
Yeah.
And it was great when Gary says he comes on the field. There's 1049ers out there, but Parcells gave him the head nod. Look, if you see it, take it.
Yeah.
If you see it, take it. Yep. Right. And it's so funny, right, Jerry? It's so many people think about Parcells as a dictator, like, right? It's my way or blah, blah, blah. But there's so many times. Let my players do their things, right? With Parcells. Look,
That's what LT said about him. He let his players play.
Yep. Right. It wasn't, Jerry, he let the play, like, it wasn't, you know, he wasn't like, wait for me to give the goal. No, yep. He was like, if you see it, take it. He told Gary. Gary told us that, right?
Yep.
If you see it, take it. And yep. He took it. And yep. It was a turning point in that game. It kept the Giants in that game. And I was, I still don't, Jerry, I think we did ask him, what the hell was he pointing at when he was in the open field? Was he trying to fool that defender thinking it was a block?
Was it Mike Wilson or a receiver waiting there, or John Taylor waiting there? I don't know. It might have been John Taylor. I think it was John Taylor. I forget why he was pointing. He told us why he was pointing, and I can't remember.
Folks, I'm sorry. He actually told us why, if I remember right, why he was pointing. I don't know if he was trying to fool John Taylor thinking it was a blocker coming at him or not, but I got to try to find that out, dude. But that was obviously a big play of that game. Parcells just told him, if it's there, take it. They wound up having only 10 guys on the field, reasons being so damn smart. Saw it, took it. Big gap right there. He saw it, boom. 20 yards down the field, whatever the hell it was.
The next one, Pepper Johnson, baby.
Oh,
75.
Gosh. I mean, Pepper.
Come on.
Come on, man.
Had him on a podcast, too. Another guy.
Yes, we had Pepper, another great guy. Just a great guest and just a phenomenal linebacker, right, Jerry? Just phenomenal. Comes in there, you know, and plays alongside Harry and stuff and reasons down the road. And just, you know, how many big plays are Pepper making games too, man? How many?
And you think about the, you think about how, you know, he was drafted in the second round as like a, like, again, that's when the Giants just reloaded. They already had Carson Taylor, Banks, Reasons, Hedden, and Hunt. And they just drafted Pepper Johnson in the second round in 1986. Like, we are loaded with linebackers. So, you know, his 90 season was the one where he really stood out. You know, that was where he just kind of took off. And we have to thank Tuto again, dude, for another donation.
Faison, thank you, brother.
Although he's using my body again.
Yeah, that's messed up. But I appreciate you, brother. Thank you very much for the donation.
So Bob said, thought I was pranking when I called him and telling him he made the top 100. Wow. Really? Well, that's unbelievable, man.
Wow. Yeah, I from what I understand.
All right, let's try Lisa again. Hang on. Go ahead, Chris. Finish
Jerry, from what I understand, a lot of these guys, when they were notified they made the Giants top 100, were really taken back, emotionally taken back.
Lisa. Nope. Nothing.
Nothing. Lisa, nothing.
The woman in the background cannot stop laughing, which is making me laugh.
Yeah, because the woman in the background is like, Lisa, would you get your shit together? Come on, what are you doing?
This is your shot. Lisa, unbelievable. Too funny. I figured, you know, I think you're a teacher. I figured you had this stuff down, but like, I don't know what to tell you.
I guess, Lisa, you don't, obviously you don't teach computer class in school.
Doing this. Nice. What's up, guys? Revival. Oh, ran into Hefe over the weekend, too. That was funny. He gave me a shirt, but I said, give that one to Chris. It's a, wasn't big enough. So I said, Chris probably wore that one. So, all right, Lisa, still try and figure it out. I'm going to remove you. All right. Gary Reasons. Let's go next. Oh, you mentioned before Jack Gregory, Chris.
Jack Gregory, phenomenal defensive end.
A little before my time.
Jack Gregory, phenomenal. Another guy, Jerry, played on those defenses in the 70s.
Yeah.
Never really got the recognition around, you know, wrestling because the Giants were so bad. But I can tell you this, dude.
Yeah.
Excellent. Excellent defensive lineman. I remember like it was yesterday, bro.
Pop put you on the spot. Brian Fitzgerald. Can we just get Bob on the podcast? He's a third member of the band at this point. Yeah, well, there you go.
Maybe we'll get a little Cole Banks, Papa down the road. Preview the Giants. You know,
invitations
talk about
out there.
Who knows, right? Who knows?
Lisa asked if we can try it another time. Absolutely, Lisa.
Yes, we will, Lisa. We'll try it another time.
You know what, Lisa? I'll do a dry run with you next time because usually it works. But I'll send you a link before and we'll figure it out that way. All right. Don Chandler, 73, before both of our times, but from what my father said, big fan, like Don Chandler a lot. I want to give the guy respect. I never saw Don Chandler play. And it's not like it's Sam Huff or Mel Hine or someone like that, where there've been enough stories to where you're like, you're kind of educated on the player. But, you know, I think he started in 56 and ended in 64. So he was there for that, like, that stretch from 56 to 63, where the Giants were in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 NFL championships, only won one, but they were in 6. Oh, here we go.
And Bob Papa has confirmed.
Would love to.
He's waiting for the invite. We'll get him. We'll get Carl Banks. Banks is in Europe right now. I think he's still in Europe. I know he told me the other day he's going to Europe for a few weeks or a week or something like that. I don't know if he's back yet. But yeah, we'll do a nice, Jerry, what do you think? A nice Giants season preview with Bob Papa and Carl Banks.
Awesome.
I think folks will like that. What do you think,
dude? Yeah, I think so. I think they would like that a lot, Chris.
Can I say something? I'm not blowing smoke up Papa's ass.
Sure.
Jerry.
Yes.
Last week when Seahorn was on.
Yeah.
And that call by Papa.
Yeah.
On that famous interception, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
We all remember it, right? Go the ball first, Pop goes incomplete, and then he quickly realized, Papa, that it wasn't incomplete.
Yeah.
Comes down with the pick. We all know what happened, right? He goes down to sideline. I told Papa this, so I'm like, I'm not like a blown smoke up his ass. I told him on the side.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought that was one of his top 3 or 4 calls.
Right.
Victor Cruz, we know that. And a couple. But I thought that Seahorn, I didn't realize how good that Seahorn call was, Jerry.
Yeah.
Until I heard it last week again. How quickly he realized it wasn't an interception. You know, I can see some other announcers
going, that it was an interception.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That it wasn't an incompletion. Yeah. That it was an interception.
Yep.
And then he quickly pivoted to it's intercepted and down the sideline. I can see some other announcers going, oh, and then Seahorn's 20 yards down the field, then realizing, oh, crap, it's not, you know what I mean? It's an intercepted, you know what I mean? I thought that was a great pickup by Pop, and the excitement built. You know, I thought that was a great call. That was one of my top 3 or 4 Bob Papa calls. I don't know, Jerry, how you feel about it. I thought it was freaking phenomenal.
Listen, I was at that game. I still thought, I was like, that's incomplete. Why is he running? What's going on? Why is he running? I was like, what are you doing, Seahorn? It's incomplete. So ridiculous job by Papa. And Chris, look, I liked Jim Gordon as the Giants announcer before, but tell me he would have gotten that play right. There's no way.
Jim, look, God bless his soul, Jimmy, right, Gordon?
I liked him.
He reminds me when I was a little kid, Jim. I'll always have a soft spot for Jim Gordon, right?
Yeah.
But I remember, dude, like he used to it was someplace and I was like, what the hell is he looking, you know what I mean, looking at and all that stuff. But Jim Gordon has some excitement too.
He was a good announcer. But it was he's out of bounds. No, it's a touchdown. Dude, what? Oh my God.
And I think, you know what, Jerry, in my mind, he reminds me of the 70s and the hard times so much, Jim Gordon, you know,
before the Giants got good. He was also the Rangers announcer, too.
Yeah, well, for a thousand years, yeah.
Right,
you know.
Right.
He reminds me, and then him and Bob Shepard, you know, stopped by Van Pelt, you know. It just reminds me of sitting in section 306, Jerry, all those years, in the old stadium saying, oh, we're getting our ass kicked. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? That stuff. But no. I thought that was one of Pop's. Getting back to Pop's call, I thought that was one of his best. I thought that was a phenomenal call.
Yeah, my favorite of him was the one.
I told the Pies on the side. I'm not doing this now to try to make a look. I told him. So anyway, Jerry, I'm sorry.
My favorite one of his was probably the Cruz one.
Probably Cruz.
Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah, and also the excitement on the Manning to Tyree. I mean, that was ridiculous. You know, because again, not picking on Joe Buck, but it was. Manning lobs it. It's caught by Tyree. I think a little more happened there than the way Pop announced that it was. I mean, it's more heart pounding. So, you know, it's those three are the ones that come to mind. There's a lot more. I remember intercepted by Jesse Armstead against the Cardinals in '96, a meaningless game, but I just remember that call by Papa. So there've been a million of them. He's one of the best in the business for
One of the funniest things for my father with Bob Papa when he took over the Giants play-by-play, you know, back in, I guess it was 89, 88.
Yeah.
Whatever Papa started up right around then. And the first thing out of my father's mouth was, hey, did you hear? I'm like, hear what? We got an Italian play-by-play guy.
That's funny.
It was like that scene in the Bronx Tale, Jerry, you know, when he asks Collegio, you know, why was Joe DiMaggio the greatest ball player? And the kid goes, of course, he was Italian.
Well that helped, I guess. Right? Yeah.
There's still along the lines of that.
Yeah, he said the part of it.
It was pretty freaking funny at the time.
That's awesome. That's good stuff, man. So. Nice. That's good. 72, another one before my time, but really the first 1,000-yard running back in Giants history, Ron Johnson.
Jerry, I vaguely remember him, believe it or not. I was like 6'7", whatever I was.
Yeah.
But I remember my dad, Jerry, raving about Ron Johnson.
Yep.
You know, saying, well, we got a horse of a back here. Blah, 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 blah.
Yep.
You know, and it's funny because, you know, he started out, right? And you see it in the pot, like he was like a fullback, and you're like, fullback? This guy can get the ball 20 times a game. What are you kidding? You know?
Yep.
You know? And Ron Johnson was a freaking good running back, Jerry. I remember flashes of him because I was a little kid.
Yeah.
But I remember my father raving about him. Good player. Definitely deserved.
One of the interesting things on that podcast, I think Papa said it, was that the Browns drafted him but used him as a fullback.
So then they traded him. Yeah.
So that was one of the good trades the Giants made in the 70s, folks, that you hear about, you know, the bad ones they made. That was a good one. But it's funny, man, you talk about your dad. Like, yeah, I remember my dad saying, you know, the only guys I know from the 70s, Chris, are like Ron Johnson,
right?
Forget like Martin and Carson, because they were in the 80s too.
Spider Lockhart too, right?
Spider Lockhart, Jack Gregory, Mendenhall. And you'd say, that's all we had. Or Bob Tucker. Another one, Bob Tucker.
And Dave Jennings.
Yeah, we're the best punter in the league. Great, thanks.
And Dave Jennings, that's all we had.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yep.
And the language that came out of our section, and I was only like a 12-year-old kid. When Craig Morton was on the field, in one of his banana interceptions at times, oh my God, Jerry.
Oof. Craig Morton. Remember Seinfeld when they say to George, do you invest in big markets? Because big markets killed my father. Yeah. I always think of like that Craig Morton trade. Yeah. I don't know how my dad lived it, because he would talk about it so much.
Jerry, that's all they talked about, bro.
It was Randy, ended up being Randy White. Oh my God.
Jerry, I mean, every time I was a little kid, obviously, and every time Dallas came in, it was my father next to me and these two other guys. There was season ticket holders next to us.
Yeah.
Right. And that's all you heard about was Randy White for like 60 minutes for the whole game. Get out of Randy White. We should have Randy White.
Yeah, God, that'd be so terrible.
It's crazy stuff, man. Crazy stuff.
All right. Next one. 71, Antonio Pierce. Our last one's Antonio Pierce.
Number 70, right, Pierce?
71.
Look, 71, Pierce.
Yeah.
And let's not forget, these aren't necessarily ranked folks, like he's the 71 greatest Giant. This was just the top 100 Giants. Obviously, Lawrence Taylor's going to be number one. We know that. But don't look into like, oh, he's 71st best Giant. No. All that stuff.
Right.
But Jerry... And look, they went over this in the podcast, but we all know it anyway. He made the play, no question, against the Packers.
Oh, yeah.
In the NFC Championship game.
Mm-hmm.
That if he doesn't make that play.
Touchdown.
And I'm echoing Papa, but we've talked about this numerous times, right?
Yep.
If he doesn't make that play, I'm not sure they beat the Packers.
No, it's a touchdown.
In that championship game.
Yep.
Three play, because you look at from behind, they would have had two or three guys out in the open field. And at worst, they would have been down at the 5-yard line, 3-yard line. But it looked like they were going to score if Pierce doesn't break those three guys, right?
Get in the
film study he did, because he was one smart freaking football player, right?
Yeah.
Smart. He was a leader. And you see that now when he took over the Raiders job last year.
Yep.
These guys are run through the wall for him.
Motivator. Right? Yeah, absolutely.
He's a motivator.
Yep.
He's a leader. That's the way he was as a linebacker.
Yep.
Ran the defense, studied film, made sure everybody was on the same page. God, was a football player, bro.
Another
great
good. He's up there. Yeah, I was going to say he's up there with Kareem McKenzie, Plaques. And in the same class, I think it was 2005.
Jerry,
Think about that, Chris. Think about that. Like, forget about which one was the best. That free agent class was Pierce, Plaxico, McKenzie, and I'm trying to think if there was anyone else. Just those three alone, dude. That is adding value via free agency, dude. Oh, my God.
You think?
Oh, my God. Like, wow.
And I remember they signed Antonio Pierce, and I was like, yeah, right. You know, not bad, you know?
Yeah.
But then it's one of those deals, Jerry, where when you around him every day, I don't mean around him like I was media. I mean, when you see him every game.
Sure.
And you say to yourself, wow.
Yeah.
You know? This freaking guy's good, you know, and you realize how good he is when he's on your team and you see him every damn game.
No, 2006 was LeVar Arrington, Rich. I know that for a fact. 2005 was Antonio Pierce, because he got the touchdown against the Cowboys in 2005 on the fumble to Jones. So
I'm not even going to jump in this conversation, Jerry, because you are 9 times better than I'll ever be.
Yeah. Well,
when it comes to memory,
it's that stuff. That's the stuff that sticks in my head. They're wearing the red jerseys that day, folks, by the way. So
I do remember that, but you put a gun in my head, I couldn't tell you the year. If it was 5-6, I don't know.
That was 5. Yeah. 6 was Arrington, and then he got hurt in the Dallas game when he just started to look good. There it is. Yeah. So right. Richardson. Amazing 2 games for LeVar. Dude, too bad we didn't get Lisa working. That sucks. Lisa,
we'll try next time.
Yeah, we'll try next week. What the hell? You know, we'll do another episode of Hard Knocks. We'll try to get Lisa. Lisa, I will prepare this. We'll do a dry run to make sure this works. Good stuff, dude. Another 10 Giants, too.
Next week, I call him the Rain Man all the time, Brian.
Thank you, Brian. Appreciate that.
I call him the Rain Man all the time. Yeah.
Yes. Awesome.
I don't know how the hell Jerry remembers this shit. What year, quarter, picking up fumbles. I'll remember the play. I'll remember a lot of the plays.
Yeah.
Like I said, Jeff, you put a gun to my head and say, Chris, what year? I'll be like, right. I don't know, 5, 6, 4. I'll be like, But Jerry, next week we come back and we could talk about episode 4, and I think we have something else we could talk about. Training camp.
Oh, I know. Yeah, training camp. Sorry. I know. Yeah, it's so funny. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're right.
So what we'll do next week, folks, we'll obviously training camp will be the priority.
Yes.
And we'll talk a little.
Kmart sucks. Nice. That's good.
We'll talk a little episode 4.
Yeah.
And try to get Lisa back on maybe. And that's it. And we roll.
And I had like a list of questions to ask Lisa too. I was going to put her under the gun, but all right. We'll see. See, Lisa. We'll figure it out next week, Lisa. Don't worry about it. If you're still listening, we'll figure this out. All right. Good stuff, dude. We'll see you guys next week. Sundays are Giant days. Take care, everybody.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here, reminding you that a lot of life's firsts are better with help from American Family Insurance. Like your first home expansion or your first big lightning strike. There's a first for everything. Get the right home policy at the right price with the right help from American Family's agents. Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.